the Port Commission of the Port and the Port Commission of the Port of Houston reporting to order. So I'll just start out a couple of key, kind of updates. A little over a week ago, we hosted a job fair. I want to congratulate the team for a very successful event. I think there were hundreds of 10 people there, so I was always going with that. We actually highlighted that at the state of the port that we did for the Great Eastern Partnership, an individual that went through that program, went through the Stephen F. Austin Maritime Program, went to San Jack and got another a number of certificates there. Today works for Kirby, and he is the first captain to pilot a plug-in hybrid tug that pushes the barges, which is pretty cool. And by the way, making six figures. So a living wage shows that our job fairs and our maritime program is really working well. So yeah, there were 38 companies that were there and over 500 people. It was really a huge success and just unbelievable. It's really important that we focus on the community needs, and we focus on events like that to create long-term jobs. Many of you heard all of us speak at different events, and the port is about jobs. We're the generator of jobs, whether it's for the Port Houston or the ILA, pilots, or all the 200-plus entities that use the port. So I really appreciate our Maritime Workforce Development Group making that a great success. I also want to congratulate the Port Houston team once again for being certified as a great place to work. When you think about organizations like the port, it's really important, I think, to create a great culture and a great teamwork, because if we're all in this together, and as long when people are happy about what they're doing and they think it's a great place to work, guess what? They do a better job. They care more. And I think that's really important. Great job for the team to create that award. And just to make the percentage was 78%. 78% of our team members believe, with taking everything into consideration, it's a great place to work. In corporate America, the average for corporate America is 51%. So it shows that the port is really doing a good job with their teams, and this is our second year to be in that designation. It's based on a staff survey that goes out once a year. Very high participation rate. 70% of our people actually took the survey, and you were talking about 800 and I think we have 890 positions. Here just Port Houston, that doesn't include the ILA, which is another 500 or 600 people on top of that every single day, maybe sometime more. So it's really a valid survey, because 70% of the people, took the survey. So getting the certifications really fantastic. But beyond that, I'm just really excited about the effort we made over the years to get that done. A PLR is the most important part of it. Most people hear me say this, that people are the assets, and they operate our equipment, right? And those are the most important people that make work. So I just want to thank our team. I also want to just take an opportunity to thank the entire port community. I mean, when you can make a list, whether it's the Coast Guard, the Corps of Monument Engineers, the ILA, seafarers, all the – we work as a team, and that team creates a lot of value long-term for everyone here. So thank you for being part of the team and for creating the opportunity that everyone has to operate in the port. Okay, so, commissioners, words of wisdom or –
Not today.
I would like to say this.
Go ahead. I want to second what you said about our port employees and the staff. I mean, every time I've been to any function, now they handle themselves so professional, and we're very proud of each and every one of them.
No question. Awesome. Okay, let's go ahead then and approve the minutes.
Motion.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Okay. Charlie, you're up.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm really not getting bougie and wearing fancy glasses like some of my staff does, but had eye surgery and I have to wear these for the next 3 months. It's going to look really cool when I put on my readers.
I know what I'm saying. All right. I promise.
Getting a little more serious.
Last month, the chairman reported that Houston's portions of Project 11 have been completed through the bay for navigation. We're still working with contractors finishing out the various mitigation features in the bay. Those are going well. And this is really big for our port and our channel and our region. It's had measurable efficiency gains and safety gains for all users of the Houston Ship Channel. For example, daylight restricted vessels now have an additional 2.5 hours of time to sail, coming and going, which is a huge improvement in emissions because they don't sit out there and wait, and just in the balancing out the workload of the channel, making it safer. And as we said, the remaining Project 11 segments will be handled by the Army Corps of Engineers. Those segments are from, I'll try to use geographical features, from the Beltway 8 Bridge up to what's called Hunting Bayou, a couple miles up the channel. Is segment 4. Then we have segments 5 and 6 from Sims Bayou, just on the downside of the 6-ton bridge, up to the Turning Basin. Now, the Corps has committed that when they get to 65% of design, they will continue to have community and outreach meetings. And they're still working on that, and it's taken a lot of time. They're really trying to do a good job, a lot of competing factors. They're looking into now multiple options for beneficial placement of the dredge material, including using the adjacent dredge material management sites, as well as offshore options. A final decision has not been made. There are many factors to consider, and it's important to take the time to do this analysis properly and thoroughly. We in the Army Corps of Engineers will keep everyone updated as they progress. I think there's a significant frustration in the time. We have it too. It's getting closer and closer every day. But we are working hard to make sure that that commitment to the public process still occurs. Now, switching gears over to the tariffs and the public terminals, compared to most ports, we're faring very well, considering the general economic uncertainties. Total tonnage was up 6% in September and is up 5% year-to-date through September. Container TEUs were up 2% in September, and are up 5% year-to-date through September. Ryan will be providing a lot more details in his report. The overall port is having a bit of a more challenge across all the commodity lines, including the public info. The overall port is down, the last numbers I saw, 6.7%. The majority of all decreases are in imports, not exports. Exports are pretty flat. But that's a pretty sharp decline for our port, which has seen year-over-year growth for quite a while. And lastly, the mayor announced last week that the Navy had decided to postpone Fleet Week. We stand ready to host those vessels at our terminals on the rescheduled dates and look forward to it next year. We're anticipating it will likely be April through May, missing FIFA. Because of all the security issues and the people that for the security clearance to come down to the docks, and then also missing rodeo, and more importantly, the fog season, which could cause some unintended consequences of the vessels being able to be here. So that's the end of my remarks, and the staff's prepared to make remarks for each of their presentations.
Commissioners, any questions? All right, well, we'll go to item E, which is appearances. So we have a first appearance here of those, which is Pamela Close, Chief Development Officer, and Sarah Dornback, Grant Associates. So if you're here, you're welcome.
Thank you. And it's just me today. Unfortunately, Sarah had some car issues, so I am Shannon Leacock with the Rose, and it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. It's going to briefly tell you a little bit about the Rose. We have been providing quality breast health care since our beginning in 1986 to all, no matter their ability to pay. We are a breast center of excellence, and we care for about 40,000 patients each year, with over 8,500 of those being uninsured. We provide the full continuum of care, so that is screening mammograms, diagnostic mammograms, ultrasounds, breast MRI, genetic testing, biopsies, diagnosis of breast cancer, and access to treatment. We do that through two of our locations here in the greater Houston area with our headquarters, not far from here on the Gulf Freeway. We also cover 45 counties in southeast Texas with our mobile mammography fleet. On average, we diagnose about 400 patients each year, and half of those will be uninsured. We have greatly appreciated our partnership with the Port Houston the last several years, and just last year you were able to help us provide 300 uninsured women with access to care that they would not have had from your zip codes that you cover, and we diagnosed 12 patients last year from your zip codes. We are also very excited about some upcoming things we have with the Port of Houston. First of all, we have a very popular podcast called Let's Talk About Your Breast. And Garrett and Jessica that are on your team will be on the episode that's going to drop November 25th, spotlighting our partnership. And then also our one of our mobile mammography units is coming and partnering with y'all to provide that to the community on December 6th. So, again, we greatly appreciate your support and joining in the belief that no one should die of breast cancer just because they cannot afford a mammogram. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Paula Nitz from Neighborhoods in Action, Associate Director. Paula.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for the invitation to speak today. My name is Paula Nitz, and I am the Associate Director at Neighbors in Action. We are celebrating 30 years of ministry, and we're located right off McCarty near the Port Houston Elementary, right off Flaxman Street. So our mission is to meet families' basic needs to provide educational, personal development opportunities to support overall family well-being, empowering our neighbors to thrive. We love the Port of Houston. It is a vibrant, hardworking community, but as you may know, many families face real obstacles. Limited access to food, we have food, language barriers, economic challenges, and through our partnership with the Port Houston Authority, I know that she mentioned Garrett and Jessica have been very much involved at Neighbors in Action, providing listening tours, and actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we also do and partner with you guys. Our goal is really to empower the family in the Port of Houston, and we want to thank you so much for your support and the grant. We were able to have some youth leadership and community pride by having this summer our teams participated in Port Houston area community cleanup and taking ownership of their neighborhood and learning what it means to give back. We also have fight food insecurity. We have once a month, we have a pop-up grocery store that is through Second Servings, and they bring food from local grocery stores the food will go to waste in the landfill, and they do a pop-up in our community center. They bring the food, and we serve over 100 families a month, and you guys have volunteered before, so thank you for that. Your friendly faces mean a lot to our family. We strengthen families through after-school programs, education classes like ESL, diabetes class, sewing, civics classes, mental health, therapy groups, support groups, all helping families build confidence, connection, and long-term stability. We do all of this with a collaboration in partnership. Together with partners like you and also United Way, Port Houston Elementary School, local churches, and other community partners, we're able to do what we do and really support the network and also our families through empowerment. So we see lives changing, children who are growing in school, parents who feel empowered, families who are able to breathe a little easier because they know someone cares. So our work is built on partnership. Like I said, you guys are a key partner, so thank you. And again, thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit more about Neighbors in Action. Your investment is not just financial, it's relational, it's visible, and it's bringing dignity and hope to our neighborhood. So on behalf of our staff and volunteers, youth, and hundreds of families we serve each year, thank you for believing in this work and the incredible people of Port of Houston. We look forward to continuing to serve together. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we get started with our public comments, I do want to welcome Councilmember Julian Ramirez to the call. I know he's online here. And Councilmember, if you want to say anything to the or address the commission and the folks here, we're happy to do that. Just let our people know, and we'll get in. So with that, we'll go ahead and start our public concern.
He's blocked right now. I'm looking at him. Jessica's unblocked.
Not a requirement. I think there you would like to.
Well, good morning.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
So I'm working from home this morning. I don't want to take up too much time, but just interested in the dredge spoils and the public comments surrounding that. I do want to say that I appreciate everything that you all do. You're obviously of great importance to the city, and appreciate everything. If I can be of any assistance, please don't hesitate to reach out. All right. So thank you and have a great meeting.
Thank you. We appreciate your involvement and you do every day to make Houston a great place to live, work, and play. Thank you. Okay, first up, we have Bill Empson from Empson Consulting. Okay, you're online. Go ahead. Don't see him now. Well, if we find him, we'll come back to you. Let's go to Paige Marner with the Environmental Defense Fund online.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Great. Good afternoon, good morning, commissioners. My name is Dr. Paige Varner, and I'm a toxicological scientist at the Environmental Defense Fund. I'm here representing a coalition of scientists, engineers, and residents concerned about the health and safety impacts of the Houston Ship Channel dredge spoils deposited near Pleasantville, Clinton Park, and Galena Park. I particularly want to focus on the toxicity of the dredge spoils and placement areas and the potential health impacts to communities. Testing from USACE and communities show that the material from both Project 11 dredging and ongoing maintenance dredging contains potentially hazardous concentrations of chemicals, including dioxins, furans, PCBs, arsenic, and PAHs. These chemicals are linked to multiple cancers, developmental and reproductive harm, liver damage, and immune system suppression, and many can bioaccumulate in the environment and in the body to levels greater than are found in the environment. Our analysis found that several samples taken from the dredge sites and the adjacent placement areas exceed EPA regional screening levels. Specifically, Project 11 dredge material exceeded EPA risk levels for at least 10 toxic compounds, with some exceeding accepted levels by up to 25 times. Independent testing in the right-of-way soils near Glendale and Clinton Park placement areas show arsenic, PCBs, and dioxins and furans exceeding EPA standards. Maintenance dredging sediments also continue to expose residents to arsenic, with levels up to 45 times the EPA risk threshold, and dioxins and furans up to 39 times the risk threshold. Currently, these neighborhoods already face some of the highest cancer and non-cancer health risks in our country from air pollution. Data from EPA's EJ screen shows that Pleasantville communities experience more toxic releases to air than 99% of other block groups in the entire country, especially when considering these cumulative exposures to multiple sources of multiple toxic chemicals. Exposure to even low levels of any other source of pollution is not considered safe. USACE has recently announced a proposal to barge dredge spoils to dedicated bay sites instead of reopening the Glendale and filter bed placement areas that are adjacent to neighborhoods in Pleasantville. We urge the Port of Houston to support this proposal to barge the dredge spoils to the bay sites instead of in communities. As part of this request, we also urge the port to halt any placement of new dredge material in community adjacent sites until comprehensive, transparent risk assessments are completed. In these assessments, the port should use EPA's most protective screening levels and explicitly account for cumulative chemical exposures and existing community health vulnerabilities. In light of the consistent and alarming exceedances of these health benchmarks and the bioaccumulative and cumulative nature of these toxic chemicals, it is imperative that the port takes immediate steps to protect affected communities. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Mr. Empson, Dr.
Okay, great. Mr. Empson? Empson Consulting, you're up next.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. My name is Bill Empson. I'm a retired geotechnical engineer from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Risk Management Center, now working as a private consultant. I've been retained by Bayou City Waterkeeper, the Healthy Ports Community Coalition, and the Environmental Integrity Project to review the Houston Ship Channel Expansion Channel Improvement Project 11. Because the project is still in its early design phase, this is the ideal time to make an adjustment that can improve safety without delaying the schedule. I support the proposal to reduce life safety and human health risks by using dredge material placement areas that are not adjacent to homes and do not drain into neighborhoods or their stormwater systems. Currently, the proposed Project 11 placement areas block natural drainage channels and rely on local storm drains to manage runoff. This could increase neighborhood flooding and expose residents to runoff from the sites. It's essential to perform detailed three-dimensional hydrologic and hydraulic modeling to evaluate those risks. Another concern is the plan to raise placement area berms using existing dredge material, a method referred to as upstream construction. This exposes potentially contaminated soils to seepage and off-site runoff. The country of Brazil has banned upstream construction after experiencing multiple fatal dam failures linked to this technique. Under its federal funding agreement with the Corps of Engineers, Port Houston must follow USAIS regulations and policies and guidance as outlined in the environmental impact statement. According to Engineering Regulation 1110-2-1156, Safety of Dams Policy and Procedures, dated 2014, any structure over 25 feet tall or with a 50 acre feet of storage impoundment capacity qualifies as a dam. All of the proposed upland placement areas meet one of these two criteria, meaning that they fall under the Corps of Engineers dam safety regulations. That same regulation states that life safety is paramount and that public safety cannot be traded off for other project benefits. It also directs the principle of do no harm must guide all actions. The integrated feasibility study and environmental impact statement fails to include human health or life safety as project constraints, contrary to Corps of Engineers risk-informed planning policy. To comply with the Corps of Engineers requirements, each placement area should undergo a detailed physical risk assessment and dam safety design review, especially where they border residential areas. The lifetime costs of doing this properly, the design, construction, operation, maintenance, and risk communication would likely exceed the cost of using safer alternative placement sites to start with now. In short, protecting public safety and health must come first. This is the right time to adjust the project to meet Corps of Engineers standards and ensure the Houston Ship Channel expansion project proceeds on schedule without increasing risk to surrounding communities. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have Adrian Shelley, Public Citizen and Healthy Port Coalition Community or Communities Coalition. We'll go back to him. Go ahead.
Hello, yeah. Commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to look at comments today. Adrian Shelley, I'm the Texas Director of Public Citizen, and for 13 years I've been a member of the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. We are here today in the spirit of collaboration, discussing Project 11. We have raised concerns about the project over the course of many years, and you all have been responsive to a number of those concerns, and I want to thank you for that. In 2020, we released a report with the Houston Advanced Research Center showing the consequences of air pollution from dredge vessels in Project 11. In 2021, you all, this body, made the decision to use clean dredge vessels. You used an electric and a Tier 4 vessel. And again, we thank you for that. It was an excellent decision in favor of public health. The concerns that we have raised about Project 11 are being discussed with a number of commenters here today. We've discussed the toxicity of the existing DNPAs and the dredge material itself that's coming up out of the channel, and we've discussed the structural stability of the dam sites themselves. As we understand it now, the Army Corps of Engineers has received a permit or authorization from the EPA to dump the Project 11 material into the bay. Again, as we understand it, the decision right now whether or not to use the DNPAs or to dump in the bay lies with the Port Authority. I want you to know we're making this exact same request to the Army Corps of Engineers, and we have been, again, pretty consistent over the years in this ask. It's becoming clear, with the research that we've done, and again, all of our comments are evidence-based. The toxicity comments that we've made are based on analysis of the Army Corps' own testing and on testing that we ourselves have done of runoff water from the DMPAs. Our concerns about engineering stability, again, are based on analysis of the Army Corps of Engineers that Mr. Empson is doing. That commitment that the Army Corps has made to engage with community when they reach that 65% design completion, that was made at our request, right? So we are doing all of this in a spirit of active collaboration. So that's it. You know, the decision lies with you all. You have the ability to make a decision here in favor of public health and safety, and we are going to ask you to make that decision and continue to work with us in that spirit of collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have Joe Jennings of the Schiller Institute.
Good morning. I'm Joe Jennings with the Schiller Institute and LaRouche Organization. When I came before this body last December, I was drawing attention to the wonderful benefits of the a beautiful new port in Peru, the Shenkei port, that was a joint Chinese-Peruvian effort, particularly if there was the a railroad link across to the Atlantic side where the cargo could come up to Houston. But I also warned that certain interests around Wall Street and NATO were going to do everything they could to sabotage this effort and destabilize the government, and that has happened. On October the 10th, the president of Peru that welcomed this port was brought down in a legislative action endorsed by the U.S. State Department. You couple that with the bombing of shipping vessels off the coast of Venezuela, tariffs against Brazil. We could be a trade war and even hot war with the nations in our own hemisphere. And I submit to you, this has nothing to do with stopping drugs or corruption and everything to do with keeping China out of the Western Hemisphere in terms of on-the-ground activity. Now, President Trump is going to meet with Xi Jinping at the APEC summit. Hopefully, they'll begin to work things out. But I want you to know that the invitation is open for the U.S. to partner with major projects around the world that can expand commerce, improve lives, overcome poverty. And the one I draw your attention to is right here in your pamphlet. It is a subsea tunnel link across the Bering Strait from Alaska to Siberia, which would link the U.S. by rail to the whole Eastern Hemisphere. This was a project that Schiller Institute and LaRouche have advocated for over 40 years, but it was also advocated by Ulysses S. Grant, because that period, that's when Russia sold us the Alaska Territory for 7 cents an acre, quite a bargain. And if you look at page 2 of your package, an incredible map of shared by Nikita Khrushchev and John F. Kennedy when they discussed this very tunnel link as part of a peace initiative then. Now, this last week, my association and EIR News sponsored an online conference on this, and it's, on the back of your first page is a link that you can have and see the whole thing. We had Azer Mamedov speaking, the head of the Russian Sovereign Wealth Fund. The head of that fund, Kirill Dmitriev, met with Steve Witkoff down in Florida just this past Saturday. So I know things are very uncertain here with the tariffs and everything else, but the main point is that we can't save a bankrupt system of speculation and finance and derivatives and what have you through Bitcoin, through bailouts, through tariffs, through budget cuts and war. It can only be saved by freezing a lot of that debt and going back to an economy based on science and industry, which everyone knows about, the Erie Canal, the Transcontinental Railroad, and certainly everyone knows about NASA and the space program, what that brought to this region. So listen, I thank you very much. I encourage you to look at the event online. It's about 2 hours long. And let's stay in touch. You guys are great. You know, let's keep the Port of Houston alive and doing a good service for the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Julian Fernandez with Air Alliance. Juliana, I'm sorry.
Good morning. I'm here to simply request that the Port of Houston Authority thinks thoroughly and does right by the public health of the communities such as those of Pleasantville and the Clinton Park areas, which I know you guys have the best in their best interest in mind. So I just hope that as you make decisions regarding Project 11, you do right by their public health and heavily consider disposing of the dredge spoils in the designated bay areas and not in the DMPA side of Glendale and Filchard side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Richard Murray, Achieving Community Task Successfully.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm introducing myself to some, but I am the Director of Achieving Community Task Successfully, or ACT, and I chair the Pleasantville Area Super Neighborhood Council. I serve on the Healthy Port Communities Coalition Steering Committee, and I'm a former member of the Port Citizens Advisory Council, representing the communities of Clinton Park and Pleasantville. Through these roles, I work directly with residents who live in these impacted areas, and I'm here to share their concerns. Today, I'm addressing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' recent proposal to barge dredge spoils from segments 5 and 6 of the Houston Ship Channel into the bay, rather than reopening the Glendale and Filter Bed placement areas. Both sites have been inactive since the 1950s, and as a Pleasantville resident, I am familiar with community concerns since the Glendale site breach of 1957 and again in 2017. I'm speaking for a community directly affected by these decisions and ask you to adopt the Army Corps' new proposal. For 5 years, I've wondered why the port would propose reopening and expanding Glendale 29 feet, considering the tragic collapse of the placement area. I don't have all the answers. Mr. Epperson will be continuing to give us technical reports, but it is apparent that Glendale and Filter Bed should not be reopened. First, Houston has a serious subsidence problem caused by groundwater pumping, which weakens the land. Second, the Army Corps proposes constructing dikes using the upstream method, as Mr. Epperson has mentioned. And this is a method that has been banned in other countries after repeated failures. And finally, pressure from new dredge spoils and heavy rainfall since Hurricane Harvey and projections of major flooding around berms set the stage for another disaster like the one in 2017. So we know that we've also had some concerns. It turns out that the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality Dam Safety Division does not regulate dams under 30 feet. And the proposal has these two deck sites reaching a height of 29 feet. Our consultant points out that given residents living close, five core guidance requires a safety risk analysis, but none has been conducted. Given these issues and more, many of which will be in his detailed report, it is no surprise that Colonel Date at the Army Corps District Office has suggested the option to barge dredge spoils to the bay instead. As a longtime resident of the Houston area and the Pleasantville community, I respectfully urge you to adopt Colonel Day's proposal. And I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. Next up is Isidro Garcia Jr. from Legal Latin American Citizens. Move that. Morning.
Good morning, good folks. I was before you all several years ago. I'm a class of 73 mechanical engineer from Texas A&M, but I speak as an advocate for the community, all communities, not just Latin American, Hispanic, African American, all of them. If this site were in another place, River Oaks or some other place, I'd be here advocating to look for other alternatives. And only through cooperation and collaboration can we come up with the right conclusion? I say that 4 days or 5 days ago, when I learned about the Corps of Engineers' position on the issue of maybe considering alternatives other than the two dredge sites that we have here. If you're not, I'm about to be 75 to draw a tear in my eyes. It's the right thing to do. It's a conscientious thing to do. We either are guided by that ledger, assets and liabilities, conscience and convenience. If we let our conscience guide us, we're going to be okay. No one's going to force us to do anything. It comes from within. Convenience is one that's led by, could be, economics. And I know for a fact, as a matter of fact, I'm going to move out from the seriousness of it, but I hope we don't have any of the decision makers that are from LSU. but this past weekend,
I think we're good there.
Me too.
Okay, good.
We're good.
This weekend, halftime, 18-14, 5 miscues from the Aggies. I knew we were going to win. I know today that the Corps of Engineers, I was with the Corps of Engineers for 6.5 years, and I also worked for Union Carbide. And through Union Carbide, I worked with all sorts of carcinogens. I was one to say that I had a little bit to do with approving the carcinogens. They used to call them carcinogen suspect agents. And if you are old enough, very few of you all are old enough to remember that, but they were called suspect. I had the honor and privilege of proving that they were carcinogen. And what would happen is I would send some of our seed rippling, the fault from olefins mainly, the heavies, and I would send them to a lab in Virginia. And a little bit was wiped on the mice. They would blow up. And they would die within 2 days. Okay, those are mice. But what we're looking at here is in the communities, we want to get them as far away from communities as possible. That's all I say. I'm not even talking about... Did I? Thank you so much for your attention, but I know no one's going to force you to do... You're going to do guide by conscience, and I know you're going to make the right decision, just like the Corps of Engineers have done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Maria Alonso from the Palestinian Solidarity, Texas.
Good morning. My name is Maria Alonso with Palestine Solidarity, Texas, and I'm here to speak to the board about the Port of Houston's involvement in transporting military cargo for Israel through its contract with Maersk. The Port of Houston provides critical infrastructure for the production of Israel's F-35 fighter jets. Parts of these jets enter our port in Maersk containers and are sent to Lockheed Martin in Fort Worth for assembly. These specific jets are crucial for Israel's ongoing genocide of Palestinians. Through airstrikes, Israel is capable of wiping out entire cities, hospitals, schools, and refugee camps, killing and wounding millions of people at once. At the previous Port Authority meeting on Tuesday, September 23rd, we informed the board that the United Nations declared Israel to be committing a genocide against Palestinians. And the board was informed that according to the UN, it is the duty of states and its agents to stop and prevent the commission of genocide, including the transfer of weapons likely to be used by Israel to commit genocidal acts. We made it clear that the Port of Houston would be violating international law if it continued shipping weapons to Israel, and we asked the board to postpone the vote on a new contract with Maersk. Regardless of the information presented, the board decided to move forward with the vote. And the board went as far as to not publicly address the agenda item and moved on it quietly. During the meeting, the board members discussed every item on the agenda before motioning to vote. But the vote on the new Maersk contract was done in a way that evaded the public. Why? I urge the board to not shy away from accountability and to recognize the port's role in shipping these weapons of mass death. Just last week, on Sunday, October 19th, Israel conducted a drone strike and killed over 100 Palestinians. This is despite a ceasefire. On the same day, October 19th, as Israel bombed Gaza a shipment of wings for an Israeli F-35 fighter jet came through the port of Houston. And another shipment is expected of F-35 jet wings to come through the port this weekend, Sunday, November 2nd. These are regular shipments coming through the Barber's Cut Terminal. This is public infrastructure that taxpayers fund. On today's very agenda, the board is voting to approve spending millions of dollars for maintenance on Barber's Cut Terminal. This means that Houstonians are paying to maintain and upgrade a terminal that helps to transport weapons for genocide. The people of Houston refuse to be complicit, and we do not want our tax dollars to fund illegal weapon shipments. We demand an end to all shipments for Israel through the Port of Houston, and we ask that the board end its contract with Maersk to avoid violating international law. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Guadalupe Hernandez with Bio City Water.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Guadalupe Hernandez. I am with Bio City Waterkeeper, an organization advocating for clean water and community resilience, and a member of the coalition speaking today on Project 11. We're also working with Mr. Bill Empson on his findings around Project 11. I'm also a resident of Fidelity in Clinton Park, living just a few blocks from the House Track DMPA, the dredge material placement area. My community experiences the compound impacts of industry, toxic dredge, chronic flooding, and deteriorating infrastructure. The safety afforded to the port's economic priorities is in stark contrast to the alarming lack of safety afforded to my community. I urge you to use your capacity as commissioners to advocate to the Port Authority to ensure that no dumping in our communities for either Project 11 or ongoing maintenance. As Mr. Empson's ongoing preliminary findings show, the continued use of these dump sites near homes is a public safety failure and an environmental injustice. These DMPA structures are effectively the sizes of dams, some reportedly over 25 feet, yet we're concerned that they operate without proper safety standards, ignoring modern climate realities. I live next to this risk. The potential for structural failure, like the West Glen collapse earlier in Galena Park this year, and the risk of toxic inundation is an unacceptable gamble with my family and community's life. The Army Corps testing data, confirmed by our own analysis, shows that dredge material contains hazardous chemicals in concentrations well above EPA's residential cancer risk screening thresholds. This goes into our water systems, our drainage sites, right? So again, it's just compounding the risk in our community. Placing additional toxic materials here only worsens our environmental burden. Furthermore, the pumping process creates a direct risk of stormwater flooding for our neighborhoods if the timing is flawed. However, the Army Corps' proposal to barge segment 5 and 6 spoils to dedicated bay sites provides a safe, non-community alternative. This is a safe solution that should be the standard for all dredge material. This issue directly relates to the health and safety of your constituents, and we need your engagement. We respectfully request that you communicate the preference of the Army Corps directly to the Port of Houston officials. Your advocacy is critical to ensuring the voices of our neighbors are heard and that the safest spoil disposal solution is adopted for Project 11 in maintenance. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up is Rondé Trevino. Where's Rondé? Rondé, I'm sorry.
Okay. Right, I just want to put a timer for myself.
Hey, what's your next age?
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Okay, good morning. My name is Irandi Trevino, and I'm the director of the Raíces Collab Project, a grassroots organization born as a response to the oppressive challenges faced by our state's most vulnerable communities. We focus on building capacity and relieving pressures that will make civic engagement possible for people. At a time in which people are increasingly afraid to speak up, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you today. The Port of Houston is not an isolated operation. It is an essential part of the region's interconnected ecosystem. It depends on local communities for labor, infrastructure, and support, while those communities rely on the ports for jobs, commerce, and economic growth. Together, they form a mutually reinforcing system that seeks to achieve prosperity in the region. which is why community priorities around the health safety of their environment is also important. In a shared ecosystem, everything is interconnected. We can think of the port as the heart of the regional economy. It pumps the flow of goods, jobs, and revenue throughout the area, but a heart can only thrive if the rest of the body, the surrounding communities, infrastructure, and environment are also healthy. When a heart only focuses on sending blood to certain parts of the body, the lack of flow to other places will eventually, in turn, overburden the heart. That is inevitable when a body is all connected. The port's success is not isolated. It's built on the strength, stability, and prosperity of the communities that surround it. Thriving neighborhoods create a capable workforce, stable infrastructure, and a positive social environment. So I just want to lastly say that we support the Army Corps of Engineers proposal to move the dredge materials and not reopen the sites in nearby communities. And also, lastly, I want to address something that was mentioned at last month's meeting. One of your staff members mentioned that the Port of Houston is collaborating with CBP, in other words, Border Patrol, in other words, ICE. And I have a few questions. It made me wonder, is this to address Houston's sex trafficking issues? Is it to help intercept illegal shipments of weapons? Or is it about the so-called legality of people? And if it is about legality, I'm hoping that this means that the port prioritizes the law so much that perhaps you will also actively coordinate with Pollution Control, PCEQ, EPA, and the Railroad Commission to make sure that they are aware when corporations in your area are breaking the law and exceeding their limits. Because if the law matters for some, it should matter for everyone. Otherwise, it doesn't exactly work. Well, and then lastly, I just want to mention a couple points that are concerning to me. Currently across the country, over 120 U.S. citizens have been arrested, many of them looking just like me, very similar, brown skin, maybe speak Spanish, maybe have an accent. And over 20 individuals have currently died under custody just this year alone. So those are things that I hope you consider as you continue your collaboration with CPP. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Noreen Faker with the Palestinian Youth Movement.
Good morning. My name is Noreen Faker, and I'm here with the Palestinian Youth Movement. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. You may remember me from last month as I joined Houstonians from all walks of life to urge you to not renew your contract with Maersk, a logistics company responsible for shipping military equipment to Israel to commit genocide against my people. Despite this, CEO Jenkins voted in favor of maintaining this partnership. Commissioners, given my limited time, allow me to speak candidly. By maintaining a contract with Maersk and allowing military cargo through our ports, the Port of Houston is enabling massacres against children and families in Gaza. Children, friends, and families I know and love personally would say they feel as if bombs will be dropped on them at any moment. The Port of Houston is a public institution. Our tax dollars are responsible for sustaining it. We are beyond concerned with the use of our public infrastructure aiding in the most horrific genocide we've witnessed in our lifetime. We feel that the Port Authority has failed to properly address their partnership with Maersk, despite clear awareness of their role in the transportation of armed youth in genocide. Last month, we presented the commissioners with a report conducted by the Palestinian Youth Movement, citing the role of the Port of Houston in transporting F-35 fighter jet equipment to Israel. As a reminder, Houston represented 40% of shipments included in this report, more than any other city. Since 2020, 432 shipments contributing to the Israeli F-35 fighter jet program have passed through the Port of Houston. Because of the equipment shipped through our ports, Israel was able to execute the El Moasi massacre of 2024, murdering 90 Palestinians and injuring 300 more. I repeat, the F-35 fighter jet was used to murder 90 Palestinians and injure 300 more. As constituents, we want to work with the port and align our city's infrastructure with international law, and we will not accept our infrastructure being used to enable genocide. Over 1,800 Houstonians have condemned the use of our city's port for Maersk shipments of F-35 parts and arms used for genocide through our petition. On October 19th, community members made their presence known at Barber's Cut Terminal to show that we will not be silent while these shipments move through our city. As Houstonians, we are watching the port, and we care deeply about what and how the port moves. And once again, the port has the opportunity to join the taxpayers who finance the port and take a real stand against genocide. On November 2nd, an inbound shipment of F-35 wings is set to dock on the Port of Houston. Now is the opportunity to uphold international law and make Houston a precedent for the entire country. Our demands are simple. Stop all shipments of military cargo to and from Israel through the Port of Houston, and for the Port of Houston to end its partnership with Maersk. This Board of Commissioners has a moral and a legal obligation to ensure the Port of Houston is not enabling the genocide of the Palestinian people, my people. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up is Marcus Jones of Houston Arms Embargo Campaign.
Well, good morning, all. My name is Marcus. I am a part of the Houston Arms Embargo Campaign. I'm also a longtime Houston resident, an environmental justice advocate. I've worked on clean energy campaigns throughout the state of Texas, and it was in that time that I actually learned more intimately about how deregulated the state of Texas is when it comes to mitigating for environmental impacts of the industry, whether that's from raw resource extraction to refinement, manufacturing, transportation, and shipping. Particularly, it was also in that time that I learned how low-income Black and brown communities are most directly affected by the emissions in the entirety of this process from industry because of their proximity to industrial sites. So, for example, and it was mentioned earlier, Second Ward and Fifth Ward communities are the most cumulative. Well, this is based on a cumulative analysis from the CDC, but they face the most heavy environmental burdens in the city of Houston. In particular, these burdens include exposure to ozone, particulate matter, diesel particulate matter, toxic release inventory sites, air toxic cancer risk, high volume roads, treatment sites in railways. So there's also a lack of public health infrastructure in these communities and conditions of poverty that really exacerbate these environmental burdens. So how does this pertain to the Port of Houston and to Maersk? A few folks have already come up here and given y'all a clear citation for the shipment of weapons and military cargo that goes through the Port of Houston, connects to a supply chain all the way to Dallas, and of course to the Zionist Israeli occupation. So I won't double down on that, but I will get into the environmental impacts. So as of 2025, a study by the Social Science Research Network concluded that almost 30% of greenhouse gas emissions linked to Israeli military operations and the genocide against Palestine since October of 2023 came from the United States sending 50,000 tons of weapons and other military supplies to Israel, mostly on cargo planes and ships. Another 20% is attributed to Israeli aircraft reconnaissance and bombing missions, tanks and fuel from other military vehicles, as well as CO2 that is generated by manufacturing and exploding the bombs and artillery. So overall, the supplying of weapons to Israel has accounted for more than 800,000 metric tons of CO2 emissions in just the last 2 years alone. It only worsens the environmental impacts that is actually felt, again, by marginalized communities in the city of Houston. Y'all have a map right here. This entire East End on this CDC climate index is like in the 90th percentile when it comes to environmental burdens. And they measure about 36 different tracks when it comes to poverty levels, when it comes to housing, when it comes to public health infrastructure, when it comes to exposure to industrial emissions. Those are the tracks that are measured, and it's in the 90th percentile, the entire East Side. So with that, I am here to demand as a citizen that all shipments of military cargo for Israel through the Port of Houston stop, and that the Port of Houston cut its contract with Maersk. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next is the DPO Gutierrez with the Air Alliance Houston.
Good morning, Port Commissioners. My name is Leticia, and I'm here on behalf of Air Alliance Houston, a part of Portside community, and as well as a member of the Healthy Ports Community Coalition. Our coalition works tirelessly to ensure that decisions made by the ports support not only businesses and farmers, but also the health and well-being of our communities who live and breathe next to it every single day. We're here today again regarding Project 11, the plan to manage dredge materials from Houston Ship Channel. Specifically, we're deeply concerned about the continued plan to dump in our Pleasantville and Galena Park communities, areas that have already faced decades of environmental injustices. The Galveston District of Army Corps of Engineers has proposed an alternative option to barge the dredge spoils instead of reopening Glendale and Filter Bed placement areas, for where this material could go. We're asking you, our port commissioners, to please fully explore and give the experts a chance, including the independent ones that we are relying on, the time and access needed to review this data side by side with the Corps, with the Corps' finding. Our communities have been patient. They've shown up, they've asked questions, and participated in your listening tours. We've done the testing, we've done the research, and together we've made our voices heard. But the truth is, our communities are tired of having to beg for basic clean air, clean water, and a safe place to raise our families. The port has a chance to show true leadership here. History will remember what happened. In a time of incredible technology advancements and innovation, there are no excuses left for dumping on our community. We're not opposing the Project 11. We understand the importance, but this project cannot move forward at the expense of human health or environmental safety. If this material isn't safe for you and your family in your backyard, then it's not safe for ours. We just heard from Mr. Jenkins that the Port Authority completed its portion of Project 11 without dumping in community. Thank you for that. But you've just shown us how it's possible to complete projects without dumping in the MPAs. We all share the same goal here, a thriving, sustainable port that drives the economy and protects the people and ecosystems around it. That's not too much to ask. It's simple, and it's justice, and it's also good governance, what good governance looks like. So today we urge you, give this barging alternative option a real consideration. Allow more time for review by independent experts, and commit to decisions that protect all of Houstonians, not just its profits, but also its people. Thank you for your time and for the opportunity to speak on behalf of a community that simply wants basic quality of life and a healthy place to raise their family. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up, we have Alejandro Alon with the Engineering.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
I was asked to sign on that, but I was not intending to speak to it.
Okay.
I was doing wrong directly.
Not a problem. Okay. Let's see. Next up is Saba Kansari Blanding with the Houston Interfaith for Middle East Peace.
Hi, good morning. My name is Saba Blanding, and I'm here with Houston Interfaith for Middle East Peace. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. I am here today because I'm concerned about Maersk shipments going through the Port of Houston that are being used to carry out attacks against children and families in Gaza. The Port of Houston is not just a commercial hub. It is a public institution. Our taxes fund the maintenance and expansion of this port, and as a public institution, this commission has a legal obligation to act in the public interest. That means ensuring that port operations do not facilitate illegal activities, including complicity in war crimes. The UN officially declared that Israel is committing a genocide at Gaza. According to the UN, a state may be held responsible if they, quote, failed to take all measures to prevent genocide, which were within its power and which might have contributed to preventing the genocide, end quote. There are documented shipments of F-35 components from the Port of Houston and Haifa. Human rights organizations have linked these F-35 jets to the indiscriminate airstrikes that have destroyed every facet of life in Gaza. This Sunday, on November 2nd, we are expecting a shipment of F-35 fighter jet wings from Israel. These are the jets that have been used to kill at least 680,000, 380,000 of them children under the age of 5. If the port fails to act on clear concerns about violations of U.S. export laws, sanctions, or international humanitarian law, it will not go unnoticed. This is not a hypothetical concern. The legal risk is real. This is not only a legal risk, but a moral failure. Being complicit in the indiscriminate killing of families in Gaza is something that should horrify people of all faiths. Any God-fearing person should be doing everything they can to help put an end to this genocide. By allowing these shipments to continue, the Port of Houston, including the commissioners in this room, are complicit in the ongoing genocide. The Port of Houston must take steps immediately to ensure the prevention of genocide under the Genocide Convention. That includes stopping the transfer of weapons that are used or likely to be used by Israel to commit genocidal acts. This Board of Commissioners has a moral obligation to ensure the Port of Houston is not enabling the genocide of the Palestinian people. Anything less would be a betrayal of both the law, public trust, and our faith. As a member of Trinity Episcopal and a resident of Houston, I ask the Port Commission to stop all shipments of military cargo used by Israel in the genocide at Gaza, investigate Maersk for these shipments, and end the Port of Houston's complicity in the great tragedy of our lifetime. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Erica, is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Okay, in terms of public comment, great. Before we start our agenda, what I want to do is just make sure that everyone in this room, all the folks that came and spoke to the commission, we hear you, we appreciate it, we listen to what you have to say. We also have a team here that is writing down your issues and can, in fact, talk directly to you about your issues. So please reach out to us. We would be happy to have a broader discussion. As a result of state law, we cannot have a specific response to your comments because they are not published as an agenda item and under Open Meetings Act, we cannot respond. So it's not that we don't want to respond, we can't under state law. So with that said, you can reach out to our teams. They would be happy to meet with you and go through a discussion with your issues.
How would we reach out to them? They're like public.
Yes, Maria.
Jim.
And who?
Jim.
Yeah, and you can meet with them afterward and give me your card or phone number and they'll reach out to you. We want to be open and transparent in everything we do and have an ongoing discussion with the community, which all of you live in. So thank you for being here. Okay, let's move to item F. And I think for speaking, you're going to take us through item F. Good morning.
Morning, Chairman and Commissioners. So we have one RCA on the agenda today, and it's related to the Houston International Maritime Conference, which we call HIMC. The agenda item is requesting approval of a contract that the Hilton Americas withheld to serve as the venue and the food provider for the 2026 HIMC to be held on November 3rd and 4th of next year. We are coming to you far in advance of next year's event so that we can announce next year's dates at this year's HIMC conference. This year's HIMC is going to be next week at the Hilton Americas as well. It's going to be a packed couple of days with a lot of networking opportunities and insightful content, including panels on supply chain fluidity, port infrastructure, foreign trade zones as a few examples. This year, we've also expanded the focus of the event to include conversations around the chemical tanker market and petrochemical sector as well. And as of this morning, we have 656 registrants for the event, and we're excited for a really great event next week. The Hilton Americas Hotel is centrally located, and it has the facilities that we need for a conference of this size. It also offers good consistency for our conference attendees. And I do want to note that much of the cost of HIMC is covered by sponsorships and ticket sales. And with that, I ask for your approval on item F1.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Any questions or comments?
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Rhea Wilson, the chairman. Structure. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Campo and Port Commissioners. I'll be briefing you guys for our channel infrastructure team. We have several items on the agenda today, but I'd like to provide some brief channel infrastructure update. As our CEO mentioned, the port-led dredging segments have been completed and that we're closing out the beneficial use features. With that, Weeks Marine completed its beneficial use of Three Bird Island on October 1st, which leaves us with one beneficial use feature with Callan, which is Marshfell 11. So we are making good progress with that. We are submitting final surveys and reporting to the Army Corps of Engineers to turn over that beneficial use site, which will be used for future maintenance placement for dredging material. Project 11 team, including Port Houston, the Army Corps of Engineers, and our joint venture team of Gohagan and Bryant and AECOM, was recognized at the American Society of Civil Engineers with the 2025 Outstanding Civil Engineering Achievement Honor Award at their national conference on October 10th. This project honor award is in recognition for being one of the top 14 civil engineering projects in the U.S. To note, there were the three top winners included Brightline Rail in Florida, Q Interchange in NYC, and the Sphere in Las Vegas. After receipt of the Houston pilot draft restriction for Bayport and Barber's Cut Earth draft restrictions on October 1st, mitigation measures were taken. We started internal bed leveling and dragging operations, which were implemented on October 6th. Following that, an emergency letter of approval for the contractor-led external driven bed leveling was communicated to the Port Commission on October 10th for item G5, which I'll further discuss in a moment. And although we were generally tracking potential shoaling and upcoming maintenance at berth, we have the Curtin Maritime dredging maintenance dredging contract, which was approved at the September Port Commission. Recent hopper maintenance dredging, which also corrected the draft restriction we had at the Bayport Flare, further accelerated that shoaling issue. So with that, I wanted to provide an update on those operations. Our estimated time of relieving those draft restrictions was actually cut in half. We were able to reduce the draft restrictions at Bayport within 7 days, gaining an additional 2 to 4 feet of draft. One of the berths was actually returned to full operational depth. We are currently performing drag operations at the Barber's Terminal, and we expect those operations to be completed tomorrow, gaining an additional 2 to 4 feet of draft there as well. Regarding the maintenance dredging contract, we're still have that scheduled to start the first week in November. Returning all of the berths back to operational depth with some advanced maintenance dredging done. With that, this month we have 15 items, G1 through G15, for your consideration and approval. Several of these items are typical lease, license and renewals, and barge fleeting, which went through the public notice process. I would like to highlight three items associated with the berth draft monitoring, G1 and G2, and the draft restriction mitigation efforts, G5. Item G1 is the consideration of the staff's ranking of vendor and award and purchase of installation of hydrographic survey equipment. We received three proposals for equipment and installation, with the top ranked proposer being Norbit. It was evaluated as best value for the port. This equipment will replace our currently outdated survey equipment with hardware that allows the port to complete our own in-house surveys. It aligns with the industry standard, and it will provide reliable data, which allows us to also monitor fluid mud, which in this case was part of the issue with the draft restrictions at our terminals. Additionally, this equipment will be useful for the next several years. So great benefit there. Item G2 is the consideration of the staff ranking of the vendors and award of professional services to Moffitt and Nickel for development of a Houston Ship Channel sedimentation dashboard. 16 of 17 proposals were received and evaluated and ranked. This dashboard will allow berth shoaling to be monitored and influence maintenance dredging schedules and interim mitigation efforts, which aligns with getting the new equipment, and these two combined will help those efforts. Moffitt and Nichols' proposal was within budget and will be executed in 5 different tasks with 3 additional add-on features that will be reviewed by the team. Finally, item G5 is the ratification request for a change order to the Curtin Maritime contract for emergency bed leveling at Barbers and Bayport Container Terminal. Along with the need of the mentioned item, the elected method of federal channel dredging and delay of equipment readiness for maintenance dredging, an excessive amount of shoaling material settled in the earth at our container terminal. Bed leveling high spots into deeper areas within the berth in the interim before the maintenance dredging allowed us to reduce and eliminate restriction until that's able to convene. If there are no questions, I respectfully ask for your approval for items for the 15 items G1 through G15.
So moved. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Julia? Okay, well, next up we have Michael John to present today. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Appreciate the opportunity to share a short update on the port's commercial efforts here before presenting our request. I'll keep my remarks short. Houston's industrial market has remained resilient through quarter three, driven by strong leasing activity and steady tenant demand. While net absorption in the regional market is moderated from 2024's record levels, the market continues to perform well, with rent still trending upward, reflecting sustained confidence in long-term growth. Year to date, 137 active projects are in Houston's development pipeline, totaling an estimated $43 billion in CapEx and 43,400 new jobs, with about 73,000 tied to manufacturing and logistics, showcasing the region's continued strength in trade and industrial activity, according to Colliers. Sharing a little bit on what the customers are saying, amplifying what Ryan will share in just a little bit. Exports of resins and chemicals expected to remain strong through the remainder of fourth quarter as our regional manufacturing base remains agile and quick to shift export markets in a volatile world market. In terms of imports, we have seen them slowed. A lot of the importers have expressed to us they have front-loaded their imports, relatively strong peak season, but very short in duration. Demand for oil country tubular goods or pipe used for drilling operations in Texas has softened, impacting imports of pipe made overseas, reflecting in our numbers. One indicator used is the Texas rig count put out by Baker Hughes. As of last week, it stands at 237 rigs in the state of Texas, down 1 rig from last week's count and 46 down from last year, or 16.3% less than 1 year ago. I'd like to take a moment and introduce our new director of real estate. Today is her first day. I'd like to have Stephanie Sainz-Sambera stand, please. Very proud to have her on board. This now completes our real estate team, and we're happy to have her on board. We have 5 items for your consideration today, all real estate related. Item 1 is a request to hire a contract employee to assist the real estate team in managing lease data activities to successfully complete work required for our migration, for a new ERP. Item 2 is a request to approve the port's 2026 leases for month-to-month leases. Items 3 and 5 are requests to amend existing leases to extend the term of the lease. Item 4 is a As well as 3 and 5, item 4 is a request to ratify an existing month-to-month lease. And with that, I'm seeking your approval for commercial divisions items H1 through H5.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Say aye. Aye. Okay. Thank you. Next, we have Nolan Garcia. I mean, Gonzalez. Right? Yeah. We have to have my iPod. Roland Gonzalez. Okay.
Sorry. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
I am Roland Gonzalez, Director of Treasury. Before I present the finance items, I'll give you a quick update on Port Authority's financial activity. There was continued uncertainty in the global trade and volatility in the markets. However, year-to-date September, the Port Authority generated $521 million in operating revenue. This exceeded budget by 4%. This performance was driven by continued strength in container and general cargo operations, and I'm sure Ryan will provide more details, but this is the earliest milestone for the Port Authority to reach 3 million TEUs in September. moving to the markets, over the course of 2025, inflation was moderated, which allowed the Fed to shift focus to a softening labor market. This enabled them to reduce the Fed funds rate by 25 basis points in September. The broader economic outlook remains uncertain in light of the ongoing trade issues and persistent signs of economic resiliency. Excuse me. This is going to be as we outlook for 2026. On a different note, just wanted to point out that staff is diligently working on the budget, and we'll present that to you at the November 11th meeting. Turning to the agenda, we have three finance items. These are annual reviews of the pensions and OPEB plans, investment policies, and it includes one administrative amendment, excuse me, to the DC plans investment policy. If there are no questions, I ask for your approvals for these three finance items.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Questions or comments? All in favor, say aye. Thank you. Great. Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you.
And next, we have Rich Burns.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Hope everybody's good today. It's Monday. Had a good weekend. We have nine items worth a value of $45 million. On the docket today, but I'll give very four highlights. Okay. Last month, we mentioned that Wharf 8 was on track to be ready for Fleet Week. Despite Fleet Week being deferred, we were ready according to our values and so forth. This project is a great example of one port, one team, because I want to shout out the PCM team of Jamie Mascaro and Ed Varela, who were both with the port less than a year, hitting the ground running, as well as our 20-year veteran, Johnny Vasquez, who did a lot of the work. But risk is collecting the money. Finance and legal are supporting them. Operations and maintenance are cleaning the area to be ready for Fleet Week. The contractor committed. Charlie wrote them a personal email to make sure that they were on board, and they were. And so this was handed over to us last Wednesday on time. And we'll use it for real work moving steel, and it'll be ready next spring when Fleet Week comes back. We also reported that 200 acres are ready at the Greens Bayou Terminal. Now that number is 260. So that's 2 acres a day that have been cleared, grubbed, and shaped, getting that ready for the market. And then at Barber's Cut, Wharf 4 and 5, we did have the walkthrough and commissioning, and we actually hosted TxDOT along the way. TxDOT is one of the granting agencies, along with the federal DOT, who are giving money to support the construction of that wharf through their maritime infrastructure program. So those are three good infrastructure projects around the channel. And then on the people front, I just do want to mention he was here. He had to leave, but Ross Talbot received a senior construction professional certification from the PMI Institute, and we added another PE last month. Alex Lyon, one of our construction managers, earned his PE, so we're real proud of that, but that's part of the people program. With that, I'll highlight a couple of items. Item one is for design of Wharf 8 at Bayport. That's continuing the build-out of Bayport East End, which is one of our three or four mega programs that we're trying to get going. Item four is for constructing Container Yard 7, which is going to add 11 acres of utility space at the northwest end of Barber's Cut, just north of L Street. Item six is for consulting services, continuing Port Houston's five-year asset management program. We're in year four of that program, and this year's activities is going to focus on the channel, on maintenance and crane analysis, as well as GIS capabilities. So with that, I will ask for approval.
We need to pull number seven.
Yeah. Understood. So we'll ask for approval of one through six, pull eight and nine. Seven.
Okay, is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All those say aye.
Aye.
Okay, up next we have Nathan Fabian. Where's Nathan? Where are you? There you go. Oh, no, we have Paula. Not Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan couldn't.
No, Nathan, okay.
Yeah, couldn't show this morning.
Okay. Good morning. You're just fine.
Thank you. To hear that.
Knowing this link.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I'd like to provide just a few highlights from our division before we address the agenda items. First here on my list is the retrofit of eight RTG cranes at Barber's Cut that's currently underway. We are changing to hybrid technology on those eight units. This is a contract that was awarded in July of last year, and we're on schedule to wrap this up by the end of this year. So all eight RTGs will be retrofitted with hybrid technology and some other features, operational features as well. We've worked with operations and channel infrastructure and bed leveling activities at Barber's Cut and Bayport, so trying to mitigate some of the draft restrictions that we're experiencing at those terminals. We're still working with IT and GIS to complete mapping data for the upcoming maximum implementation. And also in September, some maintenance employees at Barber's Cut met with about 26 HISD educators at Barber's Cut, talk about maritime operations and logistics. So that was a very profitable meeting right there for us. So now onto our agenda items. You have four items before you, K1 through K4. The last three are regular maintenance account renewals, including repair transformers, purchase of tires for RTG cranes, and also purchase of electrical cables in general. The first one is purchase of two truckable push boats and one barge for our maritime maintenance team to perform repairs port-wide, basically. Fender systems, plumbing, and all things that require access from the water for us to perform. Okay. Just a little background on that. Early this year, we retired two assets, two work boats that the port owns. The Vernon Bailey that was commissioned in 1982 and the Farnsworth that was commissioned in 1974. Those have reached end of life. We retired them. And since June, we've been renting one push boat, but then working on putting a solicitation package out for us to procure our own. And so the time has come. So I'd like to present items K1 through K4. For your consideration and approval, if there are no questions.
So moved.
Well, good to say, a question, go ahead.
Yeah, so the nine new cranes should be in by December, is that what you told me?
Eight. Two short cranes, yes, sir.
And not a total of what, 47?
Yes, there will be, we have 31 right now, so it'll be 39.
39.
Be actually 38 because another one's going to be.
Out of the 39 today, how many are usable?
All of them, sir.
All of them?
Except 212, which has been decommissioned. But no, the eighth crane will be arriving, half of it in by mid-January and half of it by mid-February.
Good. Okay. Good job.
Thanks. Still concerned about tariffs on those being
Yeah, the overall tariff circumstance, we've done fairly well in mitigating some of the risks. We've got the majority of the tariffs we've been exempted from. We still have a few that we're working on, but the exposure is down very significantly, and we're working on the remainder before January.
So did I see another company the other day purchased two, and they only had a 30% tariff?
So the way that the tariffs work, they get layered, and we are the only order that the Biden administrative tariff that had a 25% tariff when you bought and when you have them delivered. Ours were bought pre-tariff, but they did not exempt theirs up front. So the other ports paid a lot less. Then the U.S. Trade Representative policies cut out 100% tariff. That was part of the mix. 3 weeks ago, Thursday, I think, it might have been 2 weeks ago, time's flying. So today we're down to 88%, excuse me, 79%, which is about 88 million. And we're working to get the three tariffs that are applied to us each reduced table.
And that's compared to a $130 million purchase price.
Right.
Correct. So 88 million on
top of that. 13 million.
Pardon me?
113 million,
sorry. Okay, so then you'd be at 88, so it's 113 plus 88 if those tariffs are not exempted.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And at one time, we were at 179% tariff exposure, right. So great so progress. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good progress. Great. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. Big number. Okay, next up. Ryan's operations. Ryan, thanks for being on the Fan of Houston with us last week for the Houston Rotary Club.
Absolutely.
Great job. Thank you.
Happy to be there. Had good weather, great turnout. So appreciate you being a part of that.
And thank you to Maria for hosting that. Go ahead.
That's definitely where the credit goes. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. No items on the operations agenda today, but a few updates for you. I look forward to the day where I don't have to use the words uncertain or volatile in the current marketplace. That's not today. As Charlie mentioned, the good news for our public terminals is that despite this uncertainty in the market, tonnage growth continues because of the strong and resilient region that we support. Total tonnage is up for our public terminals at about 5%. Handling over 41.5 million tons. Total steel tonnage dropped sharply for the month, down 48% versus last September, down 2% year to date, and it's also down significantly compared to August. Dry bulk, on the other hand, is up 12% year to date, with export grains and import cement surging. Like you already heard, for containers, we crossed the 3 million TEU mark in September, the fastest pace ever, 3.27 million TEUs, up 5% year-to-date as well. It's really driven by export loads continuing to drive that growth, 13% up for the month and 6% year-to-date at Barber's Cut and Bayport. The growth has continued to push towards a more balanced container trade at 55-45 loaded imports to exports. So exports continue to close that gap that we see. As both Leah and Paulo mentioned earlier, container terminals have been under significant vessel draft restrictions for most of the month due to some unfortunate external events that are already being addressed. I just wanted to say a special thank you to the Houston pilots for working with us every day to mitigate delays to all of our ocean carrier customer vessels and the shippers and BCOs that choose Houston as a preferred gateway. We really couldn't have done it without them. And the delays were mitigated to the utmost extent. A quick look ahead to October container volumes. When you normalize October to account for last year's work stoppage, volumes are trending flat and, you know, expecting a slowdown to close out the year. Time will tell on what that actually looks like. Lastly, not to steal Tim's thunder for next month's budget workshop, but a preview of the recommended 2026 tariff rate increases for your consideration. July 2025 CPI was at 2.7%, and that's the basis for the rate increase for next year. Our recommendation is to increase tariff 8 accordingly, and then like last year, for tariffs 14 and 15, we're recommending an additional labor uplift for a total rate increase of 4.49%. This increase is nearly 1% lower than last year's rate increase at 5.4. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioners? Great. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, sir.
So, Ryan, before you leave, yes, sir. You know, you and Roger and Charlie ought to be ashamed of what y'all did to LSU.
It was a great Saturday.
I'm glad they're not one of our customers.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of good friends there, and it's been a fun year because they've spent, what, 96 or 94 since we won in Death Valley?
There you go. Okay, up next, we have you, gentlemen. You're going to come up and give us people. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Hugh Tillman. I'm the Human Resources Director here at the Port. And I'm going to be presenting on behalf of Carly here, right, our Chief People Officer. She is currently traveling for professional development conference. Before I present the agenda items for your consideration, I'd like to provide just a brief update on key division initiatives in the people area. Since the September meeting, we've continued to make great strides in recruitment and organizational engagement. We recently completed a Great Place to Work survey, as the chairman mentioned just a little bit earlier. And we indeed received our Great Place to Work certification for the second year in a row, and overall engagement has increased with stronger participation across the organization. It's amazing, amazing work. Having myself recently joined the Port of Houston just 2 months and 2 weeks ago, I'm not counting, I can also say that I relate to many of the themes that have been expressed through the survey, and I'm certainly encouraged by this organization's shared commitment to making the Port an even greater place to work. This coming Saturday, November 1st, we're going to host our annual employee retiree appreciation event at Main Event, which is a family entertainment center with bowling and arcade games, laser tag, and so much more. This event is going to be exclusive to Port employees and their guests, and it's generated tremendous excitement to this date. We have over 800 RSVPs, and we look forward to celebrating and connecting with our entire Port family. You're going to hear from Charles Thompson here just a little bit with a next-gen update, but I'd like to certainly note that our change management and employee development teams have been ramping up training efforts in that regard. We've got multiple sessions that are scheduled over the next couple of months to ensure that all of our employees are prepared for the transition to Workday. Additionally, I'd like to share that in preparation for Go Live, we'll pause our onboarding of new employees early next month. The reason why we're going to do that is so that we can ensure that the sunsetting of existing systems happens and we can prepare for the launch of the new Workday platform. We've also had some exciting talent acquisition successes. Two of our most recent hires included Director of Real Estate, as you heard, and a hard-to-fill asset manager position, both key roles that strengthen our organizational capacity and leadership bench. And I will just add, we just got an offer of acceptance for our new HRS manager, which I am very happy about. With that, I'd like to thank the Commission for the opportunity to provide these updates on behalf of the People Division, and I would now like to move to the items for your consideration. This will be items M1 through M3. M1 is the 2026 short-term and long-term disability plan renewal, renewal of both of those plans at a cost of $769,424. Item 2, we would like to offer dental and vision insurance to our OPEB participants. We'd like to do this in January of 2027. We want to get ahead of that. This recommendation is to fund an estimated $9 million that utilizes a portion of the excess OPEB funding and supports retention by enhancing retiree benefits and incentives for our continued service. And item M3, a one-year agreement with the Center's Creative Leadership for the development and implementation of leadership development programs, including executive team development and targeted executive coaching. This partnership will continue to support leadership alignment and strengthen Port Houston's succession pipeline. With that, I thank the chairman and the commissioners, and that concludes our People Division update, and I would like for your consideration for approval of items M1 and M3.
So moved. Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, the FCO, Jessica, good to see you.
Oh, good to see you too. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Jessica Thomas. I'm the Director of Security, and I'll be presenting on behalf of Amy Seymour and our PSDO division. We have two items on the agenda for your approval for today. The first one is the Environmental Affairs team is requesting you to award a two-year environmental services contract to GFL Environmental Incorporated for scrap fire removal and disposal to a TCEQ-permitted facility. With this contract, we are ensuring continued investment with swift removal and recycling of scrap tires and parts from Port Houston properties, which contributes to our strategic environmental plan. Recycling scrap tires and parts is a crucial step towards a more sustainable future, reducing waste, conserving resources, and preventing environmental pollution. The second item is one of mine. We request that you authorize an agreement with the Houston Ship Channel Security District for payment of our current year's contribution. As the vice chair on the board for the Ship Channel Security District, it is important to note that it actively supports initiatives that strengthen security on the Houston Ship Channel through partnerships with local ship channel stakeholders and the U.S. Coast Guard, which ensures that port meets both regulatory requirements and best practices in maritime security and heightens the security posture of our region. If there are no questions, I'd like to introduce both of these items for your approval today.
So moved. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, strategy, Candace.
Good morning. Well, my kids like to celebrate their half birthday, so I'm here to celebrate the strategy division's half birthday. So happy birthday to us. We're still 6 months. Every day is a party around here.
Yeah, okay.
So 6 months young and making some great strides. Just a few quick updates. Facilities planning team working well on working through future capacity planning for our facilities, all of them, and our roadways and our channel. The Clean Ports program studies, you have approved those in the past month. Those are underway. They're starting to get into the meat of the studies, and we'll start to see deliverables over the next few months. Happy to share those as those start to develop. In your packets, though, today, we have two items. One of them is a brief slide deck, and one of them is what I like to call the placemat. These are sneak peek items for our strategic plan and where we are. The slide deck explains why we approached a revision. You know, with organization and structure changes, shifting market dynamics, new priorities, we were tasked to adapt plans. So what you have before you is those two items. They're slight. There's some wording updates. There's some things like incorporation of the word sustainability throughout the plan, not just in one section, and just providing clarity on some of the goals. The placemat, though, is just a large sheet outlining the entire plan, but it's an easy way to communicate all the different layers. So the ask of you, though, is just to review the items. There's redlined and highlighted information in the deck of what changes have been made. Provide us any feedback, because we will be coming back alongside with Tim and the finance team next month to present the final plans alongside the budget. Thank you. I made sure to put a note in here to thank you to my colleagues, all the chiefs, that we've put through some pretty rigorous workshops over the last couple of months to get to this point. So thank you all for your input. It's been definitely a corporate-wide initiative. Only one item for you today, Clean Ports Program items. This is for an inventory item. This work stream will create a comprehensive
equipment inventory, as well as develop a database of alternative fuel and equipment options. When we start to evaluate future equipment purchases, this is something we've always wanted to have at our pocket. This study will identify future electrical load requirements and assist with the overall facility planning efforts as well. Upon completion of this equipment study, the electricity resiliency analysis will also be initiated to help identify solutions for future supply and demand needs for electricity. I'm happy to answer any questions on the strategic plan items or the item seeking your approval. If there aren't any, I request your approval for item 01.
So moved. Questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Council. You can get comments later on, Strength.
That's the one I'm hoping I do.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Not least. I'm sorry, Roland, you have a comment? Okay, good. Mr. Thompson.
I get to go last because I'm the tallest and I have to get the move. Not because technology starts with a T.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, Chairman.
Good morning.
I am the tallest. Moses Malone once said that I'm tired. I know the other guy's tired.
There you go.
I don't understand that. It's just because we don't stop working. But we have our five final items for the year for your condition, for your consideration. But as always, I'd like to take a few moments. I'm going to take a little extra time today and walk through some of these great accomplishments, not only for the technology division, but the successes of the Next Gen ERP program. First, I want to give kudos to my division. I'm not sure if everyone's aware that Microsoft decided not to support Windows 10 anymore. We converted every device at the port before the deadline to Windows 11. It's no longer supported, and we won't allow devices on our network that have Windows 10 moving forward. The InfoSec department, great shout-out with support grants. We've secured two support security grants. Together, the total is $2.215 million with a 75-25% match. As needed, we'll bring RCA's support commission for approval next year. And congratulations to the entire technology division and our very supportive partners. We went live on ServiceNow Phase 1, which will enhance our ability to receive requests for support via the ITSM model. But more importantly, Phase 2 will integrate ServiceNow with Workday to orchestrate specific tasks and reduce the burden on end users, reduce the burden on HRs, and as well as IT. Now next year, smile. We are 48 calendar days from go live. And that will be a soft go live on December 15th, which will give us a chance to do catch-up. The collective team continues to do great things, but there are some competing priorities. And the team collectively is being stretched to its limits. The first payroll parallel test was completed on October 17th. And with a 98.9% accuracy threshold. The second payroll parallel test started on October 20th and will complete on before November 7th with a 99% accuracy threshold. This is tracking extremely well, so I'm confident everybody's going to get checked. Don't worry about that.
You'll hear it if they don't.
Yes, it will. We were 94% as of this morning, tracking to a 99% threshold, and we still have 2 weeks left in this testing phase. End-user training, as Hugh mentioned, will start for everyone at the port November 3rd at multiple port locations to ensure people have instructor-led training, not just on-demand, but instructor-led training. There are also 160 job aids, which is the step-by-step instructions. But how do I do this specific thing in my job? Because, to be completely transparent, the greatest thing going on now is normal anxiety. Can I do my job in the new world? Can I continue to do the things I've always done? And normal anxiety be managed through. So we have to put our arms around our team and ensure that we are able to help them get through that. So last week, on October 23rd, We had an all-hands meeting of the 115 people who were involved in the NextGen program to listen to and help them with their anxieties, their normal anxieties. We shared with them the go-live plan, the post-go-live support plan, and what we call the hypercare support model for the first 16 weeks post-go-live. Everything we do for the first time in Workday, we'll have the consultant here to hold our hands and ensure we're okay. Be happy to take any questions before I go into the five items on the agenda. You tell I love what
You're
I do.
Still smiling.
No questions, because failure is not an option.
Sorry, I'm glad you could see me. Like I said, there are five items on the agenda, and these are the last five items of the fiscal year unless we have an emergency. I'm not doing any in November or December because we need to go live and not worry about that. Items 1, 2, and 4 support our business opportunity spend model. Item 1 is a one-time purchase for network gear. Item number 2 is a 3-year maintenance and support for our storage complexes. Item number 3 is a 3-year maintenance support agreement for the infrastructure monitoring platform. You got to love venture capitalists that come in and double and triple your cost for something you've been using all along. Got to love that. Number 4 is an extension of external technical resource because the original purchase order was less than 100 grand. We're bringing the rest, the change order back to you for visibility. And then number 5 is not a requested additional, it's not requesting additional spend. It's we're just adding additional cooperative agreements to it to get more competitive pricing for something you've already you approved once upon a time and then a minute number. With that, we seek your approval for items P1 through P5.
So moved. Any other questions, comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good luck in the next 48 days.
Thank you.
Aye.
Okay, thanks, all. Okay, we are going to now take a quick break and then we're going to recess into closed session.
It's now 11:14 a.m. The Port Commission of the 40th and Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting. It's permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government to conduct consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding claims of nature conservancy and deliberate regarding real estate, economic development negotiations for incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, including deliberations regarding the employment of the former executive director of the Port Authority and the employment agreement with the chief executive officer and security-related matters. Board Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle the claims of the Nature Conservancy on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the chief legal officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second. Any questions and comments? All in favor say aye.
All right.
Great. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for being here. The next meeting is going to be on November 11th, which will be our budget workshop. That will be fun to see. I'm looking into 2026, so the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. We're going to immediately start the audit committee meeting.